following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, welcome everybody to week three of our five-part series entitled Uncommon. Everybody say Uncommon. All right, this series is really built around the concept that great relationships are possible, but not probable when we follow the world's methods. Quite honestly, our relationships are failing, if we were to be honest, really at every level, parenting and marriage and in families and siblings and all of that, due to our humanistic response towards them. And so our goal in this series is to teach you some uncommon principles that'll help your relationships to flourish. If you've got your sermon outline, go ahead and take that out. You can follow along with us. It's also available on our church app. You can follow it along digitally there if you'd like that as well. But here's the key verse for our series. It's found in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 2. Actually, we're just going to look at verse 2 right now. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world." And so if there's ever an area that we need to avoid the world's customs, it's in our relationships. The world's views are warped. They're ungodly, and if left to their own, if left to run their course, they will destroy your life and your relationships. Going on, it says, "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." And so that's good news. God never asks you to do something on your own. He changes you. He gives you the ability to do it. And so religion says, hey, you know, here's the Bible. Here are the rules. You know, make it happen. Work hard. Follow all these things. But that really was never God's intention. That's not God's desire. God wants to come in and he wants to reveal his plan and then empower you to be able to do it. Moving on, it says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." In other words, if you do this, then you will experience the abundant life that God has for you. A lot of us aren't living the life that God intended for us to live in our marriages. We're not living the life that he intended in our with our children and with our families, with our friends and with our coworkers. But believe it or not, I've come to tell you this morning that you can have an enjoyable marriage. You can have kids that are actually pleasing to you. I know sometimes it seems like that's impossible, but it is possible. So today we're going to talk about a really important subject, and that is uncommon communication. Everybody say communication. I think if we were all to be extremely open and honest this morning, many of us are struggling with our communication, especially when it comes to communicating in God-honoring ways. And like I mentioned earlier, one of the big reasons we struggle in this area is because the world's way is so warped, it's so messed up. The communication that we see, the communication that we hear every day, can I just be honest, it's outrageous. It's vile. It's vulgar. As we swipe through the pages of our social media accounts, we are bombarded with example after example of unhealthy communication. And if we're not intentional about the things that we say, it's so easy to fall into those same traps. It's so easy to fall into those same types and forms of evil communication. It's really mind-blowing how our society has become so quick to destroy people that they don't even know on a screen with their words, with ugly words. I don't know if you grew up anything like I grew up. My parents always used to say, my dad especially, think before you speak. And sometimes I wonder if anyone thinks at all about anything that they say, especially what's posted on social media. And as a culture, we become so self-absorbed that we've really taken the feelings of others completely out of our thought process. If someone disagrees with you politically, or even something as trivial as rooting for a different sports team. Many people won't think twice to say something nasty, to say something vicious. And as your pastor, I've come on a mission this morning to let you know that that is not okay for us. It's not okay for us to fall into that trap. And it's especially not okay if it's occurring in our homes. All of us in this room, myself included, could benefit in making some changes to the way that we communicate. But in order to do that, we must first remember that we are transformed by changing the way that we think. And so I want to start by trying to help you understand communication a little bit better. Researchers who have studied human behavior have discovered that there are four basic levels of communication. I'd love for you to follow along. This is the first blank in your outline. Number one is this, is surface communication. Surface communication. These are just the cliches that we use. You know, how you doing? How you doing? Fine or good, right? Just a response. You know, all hell could be breaking loose in your life and someone asks, you know, how's it going? And you respond, good, good, you know, because we have no desire for meaningful conversation. In fact, sometimes we won't even answer the question with a word verbally. We just kind of grunt out a half syllable, like, and kind of nod, right? How many of you have kind of done that? I think probably the men are probably more guilty of that. Researchers are discovering that the more elaborate forms of communication that we create digitally, the less we are actually communicating. You know, we're connected with hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people on social media, and we throw up pictures on Instagram, you know, hashtag like my new shirt, you know, stuff like that. And we throw this stuff up there hoping to get likes and hoping to get views. We're settling for this false or these shallow forms of communication. In fact, I'd like to ask you this question. When was the last time you truly communicated with someone on a deep, meaningful level? The second type of communication goes a little deeper. Number two, it's general information. And for some of us in our homes and in your marriage and in your relationships, this is where you live about 95% of the time. You just pass information back and forth. You know, hey, you know, little Billy has a test today. Make sure he studies. You know, I'm gonna be home late from work today because I've got to go out and work out. Or, you know, nothing really meaningful. It's just passing information back and forth. But in order for us to have uncommon communication, to have true communication, it has to go much deeper than that. In fact, man, I want to help you out here this morning. I've been married for 21 years, and while I'm definitely not an expert, I have learned a few things over the years. And I want to share with you the four most romantic words in the world to your wife. Are you ready? You guys may want to write this down. Are you ready? Here we go. It is, they are, and then what happened? And after she passes out, pick her back up and have the conversation and get all the details. Just drill down into that, right? I'm trying to be funny here and relieve a little tension in the room, but we've got to go to deeper places. We've got to go to deeper places than surface and general communication. We really need to move to number three. Number three is deep feelings. Deep feelings. And I know this may come as a surprise to some of you this morning, but believe it or not, people do have feelings. And I want you to catch this. Feelings aren't always right, but they're always real. They're not always right, but they're always real. A lot of times, even you, if you would be honest, you can have feelings, and you know the feelings aren't right, but yet it's still the way that you feel, right? Am I the only one who ever lives there, right? No, we've all been there. And the tragedy is that many people do not have a safe place to express their feelings. You know, it's amazing how, I'm going to talk to the men for just a minute, how as men we would take a bullet for our wives. We would jump in front of a car to save our children. We would work like crazy and crazy hours to provide a home and provide food and nice things. We do everything we can to protect them, but then we fail at meeting the deepest need of mankind. And that is communicating, and that's sharing life at the deepest levels. You can clap there, all right? I'll be transparent this morning. This is an area that I've struggled with as a husband. Over the years, I've caused a lot of pain to Shiloh by not letting her feelings be heard and expressed. And so in order for us to have uncommon relationships, it's essential that we create safe places and safe spaces for those that we love to express the way that we feel, even and especially when we don't agree. And then finally, number four, many of us never reach this place. Many of us never reach this place in our relationships, and that's where we share our deepest needs. This is a sad and a lonely place to be, to have a need and no one with whom we can share it with. The best marriages occur when you have an understanding of your spouse's deepest needs. And I promise you, if I were to put you on the spot, and the reason I can say this is, Shiloh and I, as I was working on this message, God convicted me and we had to have a long discussion about this. But an overwhelming majority, probably over 90% of married people, have no clue. They could not even tell you one of their spouse's deepest needs. And the reason for this is because we haven't gotten to the place where we communicate at the deepest levels. Great marriages occur when both spouses delight in serving each other's needs. The best friendships, the best relationships, the best office situations with coworkers occur when we take on this approach and this attitude to serve one another and minister to each other's greatest needs. And if you learn how to communicate properly, God wants to take all of your relationships to an uncommon level. Dr. Markman and Dr. Stanley did over 20 years of research, and they discovered that there were four basic barriers of communication. In fact, they said when it relates, as it relates to marriage, these four barriers are actually the primary causes for divorce. I'm going to share these quickly with you. The first one, number one, is withdrawal. Withdrawal. Most people's tendency when faced with conflict is to simply shut down. I mean, if you've been married for more than a week, you know the drill. You know, stop. We're not arguing about this anymore. You hurt my feelings. You always. And then fill in the blank. You know exactly how this works, right? How many of you have ever played the silent treatment game? Oh, come on. Don't lie in church, right? If you've been married, we've all played the silent treatment. You know, it's crazy. Like when the silent treatment has been activated, bro, you just better watch out. Like you can't even touch. Like you'll be laying in bed. Like you could be sharing a twin bed because that's all you have, right? And so you're laying as close to the edge as possible. Like you're hanging on to that seam at the edge of the mattress just so you can't fall off. And God forbid you roll over and your heel touches your spouse's leg. Right? Because you lose. Like you lost. There's a story told about a couple who had gotten involved in an argument, and so one of them had invoked the silent treatment, and of course, when the silent treatment's been invoked, nobody wants to lose that fight. So the next morning, the man had an early morning flight, and he had to be out of the house by 6 a.m., but because he didn't want to lose the silent treatment battle, he wrote a little note to his wife, who always got up earlier than he did, and he put it where she would see it. The note said, "I have an early flight. Please wake me up at 5 a.m. so I can get to the airport on time." The next morning, sure enough, he woke up. It was 9 a.m. He had missed the flight. He jumps out of bed in a rage, and he looks over at his nightstand, and on the clock, he saw a note that said, "Wake up, it's 5 a.m. Listen, men, let me give you a little PSA. That's a public service announcement. You're not equipped for such battles. Don't even go there. You will lose every time. The second barrier, number two, is escalation. This is where tempers begin flaring, and you begin speaking loudly. You start yelling, and this is what I want you to hear. Even if you get your way, even if you get your way, if the heart doesn't receive it, you still lose. It's so important. Escalation doesn't work. If you get your way, but you wound your child. If you get your way, but you wound your spouse, you still lose. From there, it moves to the third barrier, which is very dangerous. This is where you start using words to hurt people. And that is number three, it's belittling. Belittling. So now I've already lowered myself by getting in this crazy fight in the first place. And instead of raising myself to a higher standard, I spend my energy tearing you down so I still feel like I'm on top. And can I tell you, the root of that is insecurity. The root of that is insecurity. And as I mentioned earlier, this is out of control in our country. Facebook and other social media sites. You know, go on the Milwaukee Journal online. Start reading the comments on political or controversial issues. They are so mean. It is so far over the line and so overboard. Come on, church, let's not be a part of that. I want to encourage you this morning to live an uncommon life. Let's have uncommon communication. A story is told of a couple that was traveling by car through the country earlier in the day. They had also gotten into an argument, and with each passing mile, the argument escalated in the car, and they had been hurting each other by saying terrible things, saying nasty things to each other. They rounded the corner, rounded the bend, and as they rounded the bend, they passed a farm that had goats and pigs running around, and the husband got what he thought was a wise thought, and he decided to throw out another jab, and so he said to his wife, he said, "Are those relatives of yours?" Not good. Without hesitation, the wife responded, "Yep, they're in-laws." So again, men, don't go there. You just can't win these fights. I'm just telling you, just don't even go there, all right? The fourth barrier is extremely dangerous because I believe at this point, I want you to hear me, it becomes demonic. Our words can literally become tools of the devil. Meaning the devil is actually involved in the process when it turns to number four, when it leads people to turn to false belief. In John 8, Scripture tells us that the devil is a liar. In fact, it says he's the father of all lies. And that's the way he tries to destroy us, is by creating lies. And so when we communicate in unhealthy manners, we begin speaking things that aren't even true. I want you to think about the last fight you had with your child or with a coworker or with your spouse, and we say things like, "You always," right? Or "You never." And can I tell you that those add-ons to statements simply aren't true, because if somebody always was something, we wouldn't have married them in the first place, right? And what happens is ultimately these untruths, they become realities in our mind, which leads to the complete destruction of our relationships. And so what are we to do about this? What is the answer to this unhealthy communication that we constantly see? We've got to take an uncommon approach. That's what we need to do. And fortunately for us, this book is filled. In fact, we could probably do a 6 or 7 week series just on communication alone. Proverbs 18:21, very powerful verse. It says this: "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." And so my job here this morning is to bring weight to this very serious topic. As a society, we become too loose with our mouths. And this issue is actually bigger than I can even express it this morning. Our words are filled with power. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, we're going to read it out of the Message. It says this: "Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning." Every time you speak, there's a seed that gets planted, a seed that goes into the ground, and it will germinate, and it will produce fruit. And there is going to be a time. It's an actual day of reckoning. It's a day of judgment where you will give account for the words that you say. Going on, it says words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. We are all products. We are all the sum total of the words that have been spoken over us. So I want you to know, words make a difference. Words have the ability to change the course of history. If you look in Genesis 1, in the third verse of the Bible, God looked into a situation, Scripture says, that was formless and void. Darkness covered the earth, and he opened his mouth and he said, "Let there be light." And with his words, he literally spoke the world into existence. And I want to tell you, in much the same way, with your words, you are literally creating the world around you. I hope you realize the gravity of your words. We need to be intentional about the things that we say. Now, this morning, instead of focusing on the negative and what not to do, I want to spend the rest of our time focusing on the positives and what to do. A lot of times you're able to fix your bad habits by simply creating good, healthy, new habits. There's a great quote from the Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw, and this is what he said. It's the next blank in your outline. He said, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has already taken place." It's the illusion that it's already taken place. I don't know if any husbands would want to raise their hand, but I've gotten myself into trouble a lot of times. I thought we had the conversation, but maybe it never happened. And so in our remaining time, I'm going to share 7 types of good communication that should be a daily part of our lives. Here's the first one at the bottom of your outline. It says this is number one is praise. Praise. We're going to praise people. Now, that sounds weird. It's not in the same way that we praise God. Only he's worthy of that kind of praise. But praise, what it really means is I'm going to find your best qualities, and I'm going to highlight them. I'm going to let my communication center on the things that you excel at. I'm going to let my communication center on the positive things that I see in you. A lot of us can, you know, we couldn't speak to our wife's deepest needs, but we can give you 12 of their greatest failures, right? Well, so we need to focus on the positive. Look at this powerful verse, Proverbs 25:11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." I want you to notice these good words are likened to a silver bowl and solid gold apples. How about them apples? That means that we're to communicate with words that are both beautiful and words that are valuable. So I want to ask, are we adding value to people through the words that we say? There are so many people who are hurting, and I want you to know that you can change their life by simply saying something positive. Try it. You'll see your world begin to change. Number two, another great communication habit is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In other words, look for ways to be grateful. Look for places to say thank you. In fact, I'd like to challenge you to say thank you at least 10 times every single day. When you make this a habit, you're going to see the structure, the culture of your world change. Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, and I want you to listen to what he said in Ephesians 1:6. He says, "I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." And I believe that our relationships will be completely transformed if we thank God and prayed for those that we loved constantly. But not only that, I encourage you to take it a step further and say, "You know what, baby? Can I tell you all the things that you do that make you so wonderful?" After they pass out, fan them off, and finish the conversation, I tell you, you will change the entire feeling in your home. Each week I try to send out at least one thank you note to somebody who serves on our dream team. And why do I do that? Because I am truly thankful for the way that they serve week in and week out. Our dream team here at the Lifeway is remarkable. And what's amazing is that even though I send this out just as a simple way to thank them, in almost every instance that I've done it, the very next week, the people have pulled me aside to express their gratitude for being thanked. It makes a difference in their lives. 50 handwritten words, 3 or 4 minutes of time can make such a huge impact and a huge difference in others. Here's the third one. We're going to openly express affection. A lot of people have gotten to the place where they can't say affectionate things. And sometimes you do that as a coping or a protection mechanism, and you think, well, you know, I can't really open up. I can't tell anybody I love them. I can't do this because they're just going to let me down. They're just going to hurt me like everyone else in my life has. Listen, when you have that attitude, you're just hurting yourself. Saying affectionate things is vitally important in our relationships. And so a lot of us, I think that the Holy Spirit needs to come inside of us and heal our hearts so we're able to share terms of endearment. Why? Because God does. You read this book, you will see pages and pages and pages of things that God has spoken to us. One of them, Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. And so this morning, I want to tell each of you something. I want you to hear this from my heart this morning. This is the truth. There are few people on this earth, possibly even no one, who think about you more than I do. I care for you with everything in me. I pray over the requests that you submit. I think about your family. I pray that God blesses your careers and blesses your home and strengthens your marriage. I pray God's blessing over your families. I believe that this is an absolutely amazing church. You guys are so generous. In fact, time and time again, I've seen it. I've watched as you've come to one another's aids and in the midst of difficult seasons. You are an amazing example of love. And so can I tell you this morning, it is a privilege for me to be the pastor of the Lifeway Church. I love you. Words of affection, say them. I hope you know that from my heart. I love you. I care so deeply about you. Here's the fourth one. Number four is encouragement. Encouragement. This is so important. Find someone who's discouraged and just lift them up. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. I want you to hear this morning. There are no neutral words. Every word that comes out of your mouth will either build somebody up or it will tear them down. And so we need to look for opportunities to build one another up. Can I tell you, if you have children, you need to build them up. Can I tell you, even if you have adult children, you need to build them up, encourage them. We live in a cruel world. It's hard. It's difficult. There are tough things that we all encounter, and so we need to tell our children, hey, you're a world changer. I believe in you. God has a great plan for your life. And I understand our children that they're going to mess up. But when those seasons happen and when those times come, you just tell them, you know what, that's not who you are. Through God, you're an overcomer. I believe that you can work your way out of this situation. We need to encourage people. If you do, you'll create a world around you that you want to live in. Here's the next one. Number five is kindness. Kindness, meaning create environments that are harmless. In other words, you're safe when you're around me, because I'm not going to let any vile things come to my mouth. I can't tell you how many times I've had to ask for forgiveness. I've had to repent to Shiloh in the heat of moment when I've said things that I wish that I could take back. All of us in this room, we've been there, but it's not enough to just go back and say, I'm sorry. We need to commit to creating an environment where others and those we love around us feel safe. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Kindness, gentle answers is what God is asking of us in order to have uncommon communication. Number six, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. After hearing this list, some of you might be thinking, well, that's just a fantasy world. I don't know what kind of house you live in. That's just fantasy. That's just way out there. It sounds like you guys are just ooey gooey all the time and everything's, you know, candy bars and milkshakes and rose petals and, you know, kind of all that stuff. You know, you can't really live this way. How do you actually tell someone something that you don't like about them? You do it in love. There's a big difference between doing something in anger and doing something in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. And here's the key. It's okay to share what's wrong. It's just not okay to enforce what's wrong. So I'm going to say it, but not in a way that intimidates you to do what I want you to do. The Holy Spirit is what changes people. You don't have the power to change anyone. And so just like Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth, we need to aspire to be full of truth and full of grace. I'm going to say what I believe in a loving manner, but I'm going to do it in a way where you want to do it. Where you help people make a step. I must say the truth in love, and I must say the truth with grace. Can I tell you that truth without grace is just mean? Grace without truth is meaningless. We've got to learn to find the balance. When you combine truth and grace, it is medicine to our loved ones' souls. Here's the last one. Number 7 is prayer. Prayer, no matter what the situation is, learn to pray. And I know some of you might be earlier in your Christian journey. You might be a little bit uncomfortable with that. But I encourage you to grab the hand of your spouse or grab the hand of your kids. Probably don't want to do this on the job, but in your home. And say, you know what, let's just pray about this. Let's just pray about this. Your heart will be changed when you involve God in the process. I love Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Truthfully, none of these 7 things are hard. Honestly, we could probably start all of these as we walked out of the auditorium this morning. But here's what I tell you. If you commit to do these this week, tape this up on your bathroom mirror or put it in your car where you'll see it. If you'll commit to do this list this week, I promise you, it will be the best week that you've ever had. You'll begin through your words to create the world that you want to live in. As we close this morning, I believe that God wants to heal some hearts here this morning. I know that there are those that are sitting here where you've been hurt, you've been devastated by people's words. There are some of you, you've been devastated by the people that were supposed to love you most, and they tore you down, and you've spent your entire life just trying to dig out of that hole. And so if that's where you are this morning, right now, I want you to begin to make room in your heart for God to begin a healing process. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. None of what I've taught this morning is possible in your own power. You need the power of God living inside of you. And your first step is always to give your life to Jesus Christ. And when you commit your life to him, what happens is that the power of God will actually come inside of you. It will begin to transform you, and you'll begin to be able to do these things as he works on the inside of you. And so this morning, if you feel far from God, I want you to know that you are just one heartfelt prayer away from connecting with him. In Romans, it says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And so if you're sitting here today and you know some things aren't right between you and God, and you're ready to repent, you're ready to make an about face, move away from the bad things you're doing and move towards God, to give your life to him, maybe to come back to him, and you want to surrender control of your life to him, then I want to pray for you this morning. We're not going to embarrass you. Not going to have you stand up by yourself. I'm not going to have you walk down here to the front. But right there where you are, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want anyone looking around right now, but if you want to be included in that commitment prayer, I'd like you just to boldly just lift your hand high. Thank you. My hand's all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best decision that you could ever make. I want you to pray with me. If you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me, but I just want you right there just to begin to talk to God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross and paying for my sin.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.